WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Donald Trump slamming his criminal case in New York following the first full day of deliberations.
Mother Teresa could not beat these charges. These charges are rigged. The whole thing is rigged.
In fact, jurors seemingly avoided eye contact with the former president after making two requests today. CBS's Matt Piper has details.
It was just before 3 p.m. when the jury sent a note to the judge saying they wanted portions of transcripts read back to them of testimony from Michael Cohen and David Pecker. They also want to rehear the judge's instructions in the case. The judge says he will go over it all first thing in the morning.
The White House says President Biden wasn't paying attention to Trump's trial today, but he did talk about him while campaigning in Philly.
It's clear that when he lost in 2020, something literally snapped in this guy. No, I'm serious. That's why January 6th happened, when he unleashed an insurrection. Now he's running again, and he's clearly unhinged.
Biden's event in Philly is part of a bigger effort to win back support from black voters. He says Trump's peddling a racist agenda. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has refused to recuse himself from January 6 cases following a second flag scandal. CBS's Jan Crawford.
In a letter today to Democrats, Justice Alito says there's no reason for him to recuse himself and that flying flags was his wife's doing, something the couple has maintained since the first flag was discovered about 3 years ago.
The number one golfer in the world's off the hook now in Kentucky.
Scottie Scheffler was facing four charges after a traffic incident with a police detective outside the PGA Championship in Louisville May 17th. Jefferson County, Kentucky prosecutor Mike O'Connell.
Based upon the totality of the evidence, my office cannot move forward in the prosecution of the charges filed against Mr. Scheffler.
Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken weighed in on Israel today and its deadly weekend attack in Rafah.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. is waiting for the Israeli investigation into the incident.
I can't tell you what weapons were used or how they were used.
But he said it highlights U.S. concerns about civilian casualties in Gaza.
That's CBS's Cammy McCormick. The panda party's back on in D.C. China says it'll send two giant pandas to Washington's National Zoo later this year. And officials in Edinburgh, Scotland are now kicking out their homeless to prepare for a flood of Swifties next week. The city's required to accommodate the unhoused, but with a shortage of hotel space, they're now shuttling people to nearby cities for temporary stays. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. This summer could be the hottest in history. The National Weather Service predicts Wisconsin will see temperatures anywhere from 33 to 50% higher than normal in the months of June, July, and August. 2023 was the hottest year since 1850. Early signs of a record-breaking summer showed up last June when temperatures were around 2.7 degrees hotter than average multiple days in a row. We could see more temperature records fall in the coming months. More bad news on the weather front. Wisconsin's severe storm season is just beginning. Last year, 21 total tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin. This year, the tornado count is already 22 before the end of May. If a tornado is near, move to the basement or a room with few doors and windows. If you are outside, find a low, flat location and watch out for flying debris. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
A new look for the Packers defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers continue OTA practices. Defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley on what he thinks about his new safety, Xavier McKinney, signed in free agency.
You know, it's funny you guys asked me about that. One, I'll just say it's been so nice to have X. What a pro. I mean, how hard he works, the communication, the way he is in the meeting rooms, the way he looks out for the younger guys.
NFL OTAs could be a thing of the past. The Players Union working on a proposal to eliminate voluntary spring practices and in return have players report earlier to training camp. Baseball, the Brewers with a 6-3 loss in extra innings to the Cubs at AmFam Field. Chicago scoring 5 runs in the 10th after a 1-1 tie in the 9th. Cubs manager Craig Counsell on snapping a 5-game losing streak.
That's why you keep fighting, and the ball talk it, ends up getting their closer out of the game, and then we put together a really good inning.
That's the Cubs' Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, then a few clouds in the afternoon, high mid-70s. Showers and storms return Thursday night and Friday. And rain chances continue into the weekend, highs stay in the 70s. It's 71 right now.
Earl Ingram.
Thursday morning, I'll be joined by award-winning newspaper columnist, political commentator, and good friend, Joel McNally.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Here we go.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Schwabba.
All right. We are back on the air here at Nightlight, live on this beautiful Wednesday night, broadcasting statewide over our beautiful state here in Wisconsin. Great to have you with me tonight. Midweek. Feels like a Monday. It's not. Feels like an early hump day. It's a Monday hybrid with Wednesday. I had a very long weekend. I'm very glad to be back here talking to anyone who will listen, because I don't know what to do with myself on weekends, especially long weekends. The K-Man is in Italy, somewhere in the Mediterranean. I don't know where he is, but we had a night where I don't think we had any coverage, so I took the night off. And after a long weekend, it ended up being about, that's the most time I've had off probably in a year, and it felt weird. But sitting in for Conrad tonight, we have kind of a carousel of hosts, and they've all been so much fun to work with. And everybody here at Civic Media is pulling together to keep Nightlight going in Conrad's absence. And tonight we have the awesomely talented and really fun Anya Esther. Anya, how are you?
I'm so much better now that I'm here with you, Pete. This is awesome.
Hey, it's great to have you. Listen, you've been a guest on this show. And we've talked periodically over the last year about movies and TV, and you have a serious interest in that as well. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun. You'll be doing the show tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Correct?
That's right. This is a three-night set, a three-night residency I'm doing here on Nightlight. That's right.
Outstanding. How do you like being in Green Bay?
I love it. I love driving up here. It was a nice drive, very little traffic, few people on the road, I think, because like you said, it's a Monday-Wednesday hybrid. Nobody really knows where to go or what to do.
Yeah.
But we're having a great time. It's a beautiful little city. I haven't seen much of it other than Lambeau Field, so I'm excited to kind of, in the middle of the day, the next 2 days, have some time on my lunch to go explore this city and see what are you guys doing up here? What do you do for fun? I'm excited.
You know, it's great. I don't live here, but I will say a lot of people think only of the Packers when they think of Green Bay.
Right.
And that's certainly warranted. They're this humongous brand, this little town. They're a worldwide brand. It's such a cool thing. But Green Bay has so much other stuff to offer, and they got some really cool. I've seen places where they've shot movies here, and it's got some grit to it, but it's got some awesome, really cool modern architecture and bars and restaurants. So I can't speak for you. I've really enjoyed getting to know Green Bay a little bit over the past 6 months since we've been on the air. It's a really fun town.
Yeah, I just driving in and even just getting to our hotel, I was like, I wouldn't expect Green Bay to have this. I think I saw like a boba shop. I was like, they got boba this far north now? That's awesome. So excited to see what's happening up here in the GB area.
Can you, just for some of the listeners who don't know what boba is, myself included,
can you
clarify that?
So boba,
it's tea, right?
Right. So okay. It's boba are the little bursting beads of juice that you'd put at the bottom of a milk tea. So the drink is still tea, and then what's in? I guess I don't really know what's in boba. I guess I just drink them, but they're like little. They're like if you could eat Orbeez, which is fun, childhood dream of mine. And they come in all sorts of different flavors. And then some boba is just tapioca and there's nothing in them. And they're just kind of chewy things to chew in your drink. Because that's what you want. Right, Pete? Am I convincing you to get a boba?
Chewy tea. That's what
chewy
I love.
Tea,
I love
yeah.
crunchy tea. Absolutely. When you first said that, I thought you meant paba.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, paba is something. I think it's in sunblock. I'd pick up a thing of sunblock and it'll say paba free.
Oh.
And my first inclination is to say, thank God, the last thing I need is paba, whatever on earth that is.
Exactly.
But it's a strain. Yeah, it was introduced to sunscreens in the 1970s. It was a key ingredient in sunscreen starting in the 40s. However, paba can be harmful in large amounts and has been linked to allergic skin reactions in some people. Paba can also cause skin hyperpigmentation or dark patches. You know, sometimes you find out they put something in there and it's like, why did they even put it in the first place? They either didn't test it. It's got a ton of side effects, paba. I was not prepared to talk about paba tonight, by the way.
Either.
It's kind of a fun word to say. Boba is tea. Paba is a chemical found in sunblock. So, which I need. I am fair skinned. That's the one downside for summer when it comes to me is just I have to put on sunblock. I can't get away. I don't tan. If I really try, like when I was a kid, I would bronze a little bit.
Okay.
Like if I got burnt enough, I'd get like a deep red-ish, brown-ish. But, is it worth it, you know?
I don't think so. I can't stand a sunburn. Once they start to itch or once they start can't stand it.
Do you tan at all?
I don't get outside enough to tan. I'm back here on the board. But in a normal summer, yes. When I would work summer camps. Yeah, exactly. When I would work summer camps, I would come home shockingly tan. So, yes.
Oh, nice. That must be nice. Today is National Flip-Flop Day. Speaking of summer, and there are some people that I like flip-flops. They're handy, practical around the house. But when I go to the grocery store, there are some people that wear flip-flops that should not be wearing flip-flops and around food. I don't know. There's some people, I just can't look at their feet.
Yep.
And I can't believe they'd show them. I'm not in great shape anymore. You know, I don't take my shirt off in the yard. I don't want to subject people to that. But some guys, shirts off, it's summertime. What are you doing? Why would you show yourself? You have moobs. And I don't get it. And the feet, too. I can't do it.
The feet thing especially, I'm like, I'm shocked by where people will just have their toes out. I'm like, aren't you afraid of... I've seen people hiking in flip-flops, and I'm just thinking, you're going to really... trip and hurt yourself, or you're gonna stub your toe on a tree and that's gonna hurt. What are you doing out here?
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer. And join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. How do you feel about Madison, Anya?
You know what? I had a good time when I was in Madison. Me and the Busted Pencils boys also checked out Minocqua Brewing Company.
Nice.
Nice little spot. I got to say, all the ad copy says enjoy their beer. I have to throw this out there. Enjoy their seltzers too, friends. They're very good. I'm not a beer person, and I found their seltzers delish.
I am not either. I'll drink a soda or seltzer is my preferred drink nowadays. But Kirk gave me a craft soda.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't even know those existed, and it was delicious. So it's a great little joint, and love the Busted Pencils guys. Tim and Johnny are so much fun.
Oh, they're the best.
So we've got a great show tonight. Anya is riding shotgun where Conrad usually sits, where a host of other people have sat over the last... I was in Madison last week. We're going to play a fun... I talked to some people in Madison about what they're watching and how they like Madison. We'll play that over the next couple of days. Those are some... Got some fun footage of that. But tonight, back here in Green Bay, back in the seat here. Paul Gilmartin joins me tonight. Paul is the former host of Dinner and a Movie on TBS and a very funny comedian, one that I looked up to when I started doing stand-up in Chicago in the early 90s. We became very good friends. I want to talk to Paul about the reboot. They are rebooting Dinner and a Movie, and Jason Biggs, who, if you've ever seen American Pie, you know he should probably not be allowed around food, especially baked goods. We will get Paul's commentary, his opinion on the reboot, and talk to Paul about what he's up to. He's always got fun stuff going on. And then Craig Anthony Knitt will be here in the second hour talking about a cinema summit that is taking place here in Green Bay this Saturday at the Brown County Library. They've got a great lineup of guests. Craig is a fun guy to talk to. He's been in the studio before. He's always got some project going. And he teaches kids, and he teaches kids film. And I think that's really cool that kids in grade school get exposed to that at a young age. So we got a couple really fun guests tonight. I will say this. I saw Furiosa. I've been talking about Furiosa for a couple weeks leading up to the premiere over the weekend. I had huge expectations going in, and it did not disappoint. At one point, I asked myself, am I enjoying this as much as I thought I would? Which is not a good question, but I answered it, yes, I am. Like, I went with my wife and another couple, and we were all just... It's got that, you know, Anya, like when you see a movie and it just starts, it takes off and it never stops. And it's that great score, that dun, 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 dun. It's like this, it's so intense. And the star of the movie, Anna Joy, I'm forgetting her name.
Now, hold on. That's Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, it is Anya Taylor-Joy.
That's my name twin, sir. You will get that name right, sir.
I think I could do that. I could do you a solid. She does not look like she does... Well, I mean, I've seen pictures where she's all glammed up, but in this movie, she's so good. And the film just, like, it got like 90% on RottenTomatoes.com, and it does not disappoint. It disappointed a little bit at the box office. They thought it would get better numbers, but, you know, whatever. People are going to go see it or they're not. It is a great movie, really fun. If there is a weak link in the movie, and there's not, it's Chris Hemsworth. He's just kind of like, it doesn't need to be him. He's got a beard. He's got long hair. I didn't even know it was him for like the first 20 minutes. And he's fine, but she steals the show. And the guy she gets connected with halfway through the movie, he's great too. And of course, Immortal Joe is creepy. And a lot of the cast of characters from the Mad Max Fury Road were in it and were great too. So I highly, highly recommend Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. And that leads us to our question tonight, because it got me thinking. Who is your favorite female action hero? There's been several over the years that have been really... Anya, you're probably not... Well, you're not as old as me, but I remember when a female hero... Obviously, Wonder Woman was around in the 70s, a little bit in the 80s, but to open a film with a main character that was a woman... I remember Gina Davis in The Long Kiss Goodnight and them making a big deal about how she is the badass. She is the action hero, and it's a woman. Whoa. And now there have been tons of them.
Oh, yeah. I growing up in a society that was, you know, making more films about women has been huge for me.
Yeah.
But I am so excited to hear what you're saying about this film, where it's not just, oh, there she goes, but she's going to make it. It's like, no, she kicks butt, and she's taking names, and I love that.
She's great, and that's what our question is tonight. Who is your favorite female action hero? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know, and we will read your text on the air. We have so much fun doing that. And as you know, you can text us throughout the course of the show, regardless of what I'm talking about. I love to hear your opinions. Great to be back with you guys. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. More Furiosa coming up next.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy.
including classic carnival games like skee-ball made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends? To work on your attention span? Or to win a prize, like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the skee-ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Michaels just texted on the stream and said moobs. L-M-A-O. You know what that means, Anya?
Laughing my ass off.
Just checking.
I can always translate for you.
My friend Mike and I go back and forth. We add a bunch of letters to L-M-A-O, and we try to guess what the letters what we're referring to. Moobs. The first time I heard moobs was about 10 years ago. One of my nieces, I think, said it, and I laughed hysterically. It's a great word. Sherry from Horicon checks in. Good evening, Pete and Anya. This is Sherry. Missed you, Pete. Saw you, Anya. We missed you too, Sherry. Great to hear from you as always, and glad you are chilling out with us tonight. She says, glad you got a break. I am too. I did settle in. The problem is when you get a break, you don't know what to do with yourself for like the first couple days. And then by the time you finally start to relax, it's time to go back to work. Sherry says, Pete Schwabob is talking about, I think she meant Paba.
Pete Schwab Paba. Yeah, this Sherry's is, I don't know if this would work. Yeah.
She's from Horicon or Horicon. See, I can make fun of your city, Sherry.
I was going to say.
That's how this works. Andrew from Verona says, Sigourney Weaver kicking some alien ass. She was on my list too, Andrew. That's a great one. My favorite moving forward is Furiosa. I love her. But I love Charlize Theron in Mad Max Fury Road. Sigourney Weaver is so great in both of the Aliens. Or all three. She was in, how many Aliens? She's in all of them, I guess. But I remember her from the first two. I don't even know if I saw the third one. Loved Gina Davis in The Long Kiss Goodnight, directed by Rennie Harlan, a great action director. And love Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman. So those are mine. I don't know. Anya, you have any inside info here for us since you're a of the female persuasion?
Oh, yes. My expertise. yeah, I was going to say Gal Gadot came to mind. I think both Linda Carter and Gal Gadot's takes on Wonder Woman being, I mean, really... a woman who was a super, she's not superwoman, she's her own thing. I think that is so important to get away from just, well, there's Spider-Man, we'll just make Spider-Woman. It's like, no, let's have a new character who does her own thing. Thank you. Right. So I love them. I'm of course, because I'm on air blanking for other names, but bringing up Gina Davis, I think just every film she's in, because that's the same way she's in Beetlejuice and is League of Our Own. Is that Gina Davis? Am I getting the name right?
Yeah.
I think every she's film great. She's in, League of Their Own, you know, she's not an action hero, but she's also kind of being like putting her foot down saying, hey, you know, I'm in charge here a little bit too. And I think sometimes that is the female superpower we don't see enough of is like the real stuff. But I'm getting far away from movies now. So that's my take.
Yeah, no, that's a great take. And like I said, Charlize Theron in Mad Max Fury Road was great too. This franchise, George Miller is such, he is directing circles around younger directors right now. The guy's 80 years old. I think in Fury Road, that film won like 7 or 8 Oscars. He did not win Best Director, which to me was sort of a crime. I don't know what'll happen this time around, but he equally matches what he did 9 years ago. It's so good. I also watched over the weekend a show called Hacks on Max, which stars Jean Smart and is it's about an aging comedian in Vegas, and she's paired up with a young, edgy writer. And the two of them butt heads. They're kind of women from different eras. But there's this mutual respect, and I'm going to stick with it. I only watched the first show, but I really dug it. I thought it was great. And then I went Jimmy Stewart crazy. I watched one of my all-time favorites, Rear Window, a because I didn't want to go to bed. And it was one of those nights and it was right there on my queue or my list, whatever you call it. So I put it on. And then I watched Anatomy of a Murder. And I want to dig into that film one of these nights a little farther, because that was shot in the Upper Peninsula. And it had a young George C. Scott, Lee Remick, obviously Jimmy Stewart. Such a great cast. Eve Arden was in it. And it's just, it made me want to go drive through the UP and see some of where they shot it. Now, it was in black and white. The colors, obviously, there were no colors, so nothing popped that way in terms of scenery. But really cool film. I had never seen it. So I was excited. And then I caught up. I watched a couple of older films in the horror genre. One I hadn't seen since 1985, called Dawn of the Dead, which was hard to get until recently. And Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which I had never seen, with Donald Sutherland and Veronica Cartwright. Really kind of an ahead of its time horror film, because I like how they're like, most horror films, you have like an invasion of aliens and it's just weird. And it's kind of like, all right, I guess I can go with this. Invasion of the Body Snatchers had like these particles, like seedlings that come down from space, and they just fall to the earth in plants, and they grow and they latch onto people and take over their bodies. Pretty cool.
That's revolutionary for the time that came out. To me, I think there's so many horror films that do less than that today. Totally. So that's awesome.
And it was very organic the way it happened. And they just took over people's minds. They zapped them of their emotions.
Well, they
of
are
love,
organic.
Correct. But I'm saying, like, in terms of a, you're much more of a smartass than Conrad is.
You know,
I don't know if you know that.
Sometimes I listen to your show and I go, Conrad, there was an easy opening there. And I don't text
him.
He
gift wrapped it for you.
There you go.
But it's true. It's like, you know, the plot just works. It's how they take over and then they just become like these sort of like zombies, but you can't really tell. And how Donald Sutherland pieces it together is pretty cool. I also saw, Anya, when you're here Friday, when we have Terry Barr and we have talked about this, because I saw a friend of mine, Tim Baker, posted this on Facebook. It was Kiss, the band, doing Soft Shoe to I Was Made for Loving You, Baby. They were doing this really weird, lame dance number around Linda Carter, who sang the song.
Sang the song, I Was Made for Loving You?
Loving You, Baby. And these badass Kiss members are doing this like Broadway shuffle. It was so weird.
I will have to look this up. This is, I have to see this.
You have to. All right. So do we have time to play Paul's clip? I want to give the people a little taste of Paul Gilmartin before we bring him on here.
I think we do.
Can we squeeze in? All right. This is a character Paul did, a conservative congressman, which seemed outlandish when he started it 25 years ago. And now the guy would be considered mainstream on the right. Let's hear it.
Congressman Richard Martin from Ohio's 19th district. He's a Republican. Congressman Martin, thank you for joining us.
Cenk, I appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on here.
All right. Glad to that you stopped by in the studio. I'm just going to read you what his press release says, because this is crazy. Sorry, but it's what your press release says. Richards is a United States congressman representing Ohio's 19th district, called a champion of big business and the upper class by the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Richard is actually more than that. He's also a champion of the upper middle class. He's brought hope to thousands of suburban couples struggling to afford a second home. Sounds heartwarming. Now, you've also been called a friend of big oil, but given the seriousness of the recession at hand, how can you still be in favor of giving tax breaks to big oil while cutting benefits to those below the poverty line?
Cenk, you know, the last time I checked, my car didn't run on poor people. The homeless, while oily, don't easily fit into a gas tank. You know, I don't know what you liberals want us to do. You want us to build an offshore hobo platform? You see, the liberals, you live in a fantasy world. You think it runs on raspberries and cinnamon. It doesn't. It runs on oil and the exploited labor of poor people.
That's Paul Gilmartin. He's coming up. Just a few minutes. All right. I also want to say this before we bring Paul in. Baked chips. Give it up. They suck. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Paul Gilmartin coming up next.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The jury in former President Donald Trump's criminal trial finishes its first day of deliberations without reaching a verdict, although it did ask to rehear testimony. Trump tells reporters,
"Nobody knows what the crime is. The DA didn't name the crime. They don't know what the crime is. That's what the problem is. It's a disgrace. This thing ought to be ended immediately. The judge ought to end it."
Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito rejects calls to recuse himself from Trump-related decisions following a flags controversy. CBS's Jan Crawford.
Alito has consistently said he had nothing to do with the flying of any flag, which he said was solely an interest of his wife. He emphasized that point in both letters to the Democrats.
Criminal charges against top pro golfer Scottie Scheffler are dropped by prosecutors in Louisville after a May 17th traffic incident with a police detective outside the PGA Championship. Scheffler's lawyer, Steve Romine.
The truly historic season he is having right now, being involved in litigation would be a distraction.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The judge hearing the lawsuit against Act 10 may have signed a petition to recall former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. That's according to the Associated Press. This could be important to note because anger over Act 10 drove Wisconsinites to try and recall Walker in 2012. Governor Tony Evers says Judge Jacob Frost should not be removed from the case. Evers is quoted saying, "Let's just let it play out." This case is predicted to reach the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Two people are found dead after a house exploded near Middleton in the town of Springfield. On Tuesday night, emergency responders received a call about a house on fire. When they reached the scene, the house was entirely in flames. One body was found around 11 p.m. Tuesday night and another Wednesday afternoon. Officials have not yet identified the deceased or the cause of the explosion. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Morgan Spurlock, who lampooned the fast food industry with his documentary Supersize Me, has passed away. Yahoo Entertainment reports the Academy Award nominee died due to complications from cancer. Spurlock showed the effects that an all-fast food diet had on his body and mind. He was 53. Let's stick with gluttony. All great competitors should know when to step down. Such is the case with competitive eater Kobayashi, who claims in his career that he has eaten over 10,000 hot dogs. I actually thought that would be more. Kobayashi once consumed 50 hot dogs in 12 minutes, shattering the previous record of 25 and 1/8 hot dogs in the same amount of time. The athlete says after eating competitively, two words that should never be used together under any circumstances, for decades, he has no appetite. The moral of the story? If you cram as much food as you can into your pie hole for two decades, you'll eventually lose your appetite. And that's a great way to keep the weight off. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, then a few clouds in the afternoon, high mid-70s. Showers and storms return Thursday night and Friday. And rain chances continue into the weekend, highs stay in the 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'm going to be talking about the gutless, the flip-floppers extraordinaire, little Nikki Haley, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and Bill Barr. They go so very low.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
We are back. Shaking off the rust of a long weekend. Great to have you with me tonight. We're broadcasting statewide over Wisconsin airwaves from beautiful downtown Green Bay on the Wednesday following a very sluggish weekend at the box office. But we don't care because Furiosa ruled. And another guy who rules is joining me right now here on Nightlight. He's been here before. You've heard him. You know him. You love him. And you might have seen him on Dinner and a Movie the first go-round. Paul Gilmartin joins me now. Hey, Paul.
That was such a lovely segue. I would like everybody in the state of Wisconsin to just hold a moment of silence for that segue.
Well, I think, if you don't want me to compare you to Furiosa, I'm fine with that. I was trying to take care of you, trying to set the table for you to come in here and kick some ass with your girl power, but we can play it your way, buddy. That's fine.
Compare me to who?
Furiosa, the new Mad Max movie. Furiosa is the,
Is it good?
It's really good, Paul.
I love the Mad Max franchise.
It's like, I loved Fury Road, and this was like I was telling Anya, the whole film had that score where it's just like dun 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 dun, 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 and it doesn't disappoint. You're like, oh my God, it's great. It's really fun.
I'll have to check it out.
And it reminds me of you. So hey, it's great to have you. It's great to have you. Hey, you just said you took a trip. Where did you go?
Ecuador.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's where my girlfriend is from, and so we were just visiting her family.
So you're not just one of those guys who says you're dating a girl from another country. She actually exists and you go to visit her. I think that's admirable.
Yes. She lives here, but we went to visit her family.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. How is Ecuador? I've never been.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's we were in Quito, which is really mountainous. It's the capital of Ecuador and it's at 9,000 feet.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just lush and super, super steep mountainsides.
Jeez. Yeah.
There is not a straight section of road longer than 10 yards.
Oh my gosh.
It is just curves and hills, but I loved it. I loved it. And, you know, we went to the rainforest and I saw, you know, one of the Fruit Loops birds with
the toucan, you know, or whatever. Did you call it?
Did you call it a
Fruit Loops bird?
I think that's the biological genus.
That's very funny.
Frutus lupus.
He just got all these looks from the Ecuadorians. Like, what is his deal?
But it was great and very, very affordable.
Really?
Yeah. Half dozen of us went to a roadside cafe and had dinner, and the bill was $25.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody I know is going to Costa Rica, either to move or visit, like Costa Rica.
Costa Rica apparently is not affordable, though.
But not anymore, maybe, because now it's been like I heard Portugal was really affordable like 10 years ago, and now everybody's anything on the ocean that has a temperate climate, you know, it seems like it's just.
Yeah. In Quito, it's within 5 degrees of 70. You don't need air conditioning or heating. And the sun rises because it's at the equator. The sun rises and sets at the same time every day.
I find this interesting that you're talking about this because, and I don't think we got to this last time you were on the show. Paul has lived in LA for about, 30 years now, Paul? Close to 30 years. And I get this email from Paul who has no connection to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan or Northern Wisconsin. He grew up in Chicago and he says, Pete, I'm looking at buying, 5 or 10 acres of land in Menominee, Michigan. Do you mind checking it out for me? And I was like, what? Like, I thought it was like a joke. So I'm like, yeah, sure. And then but you know what? The interesting thing is, Paul, and you obviously, you didn't do that. I think you told me you bought land over in Northern Minnesota, even colder. Yeah. but a lot of people, I don't know if it's like they think end of times or what, but they want to go places where there is water.
Yeah.
Right. Is that
when you live in California? Yeah.
Because I've been
there when the drought was really bad before we got all this rain in the last couple of months. They might even still be doing it there. You are drinking reclaimed water.
What does that mean? What is that reclaimed water?
Sewage.
Oh,
is being reclaimed and filtered and cleaned.
Don't they do that anyway, kind of, though? Don't they refilter water?
Yeah, but then they'll use it, you know, to water crops and stuff like that. Oh, that's the that is normal to do that, right. But not for it to go into the tap water.
Yeah, I've had, since you contacted me like a year, year and a half ago, whatever it was, I've had like five friends that live in Southern California that are like, what's it like there? You know, asking, and I'm like, you know, if you don't mind winter, it's great. It's, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. And it, you did well to pass on that property because it was right in the bay and it's beautiful. But it looked like there was like some kind of industrial thing there at one point. Like you might be dealing with, I don't know, chemicals or something over time. I don't know. But well, it's good to have you on the show again, Paul. This is fun. And
thanks, buddy. It's always great to see you.
Yeah,
you're,
likewise.
You're one of my favorite comedy buddies from Chicago.
Thank you. Like back at you. And I remember when I met you, you were one of those guys, you were starting to get some heat, as they say, and you were like one of the funnier guys in Chicago. And I met you and you told me you knew my cousin from Indiana, University of Indiana. And I think you were studying drama and you ended up doing stand up. How did you make that leap? And have you ever thought about going back to acting?
I'm not a good actor, Pete.
Okay.
I think that's what's holding me back. And that I Other don't care. That,
you have a great resume.
I'm not good at it, and I don't care to do it. Those seem to be the two hurdles in my way.
Well,
who was your cousin?
Paul Griffin.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I roomed with Paul.
And he must have said something about me to you, because you already knew about me, and I was like, what? Like, I was just kind of starting, so he must have said something to you, but you guys...
I had always wanted to do stand-up, and honestly, acting was a way for me to overcome my fear of being on stage. So, you know, but I was really, really afraid to do something that were out there by yourself.
Right.
And so I tried acting, wasn't good at that. Went through Second City's training program, did not get invited to join the company. And so I was like, okay, last one left is stand up, which I'd wanted to do all along, but I was terrified to do it. And, you know,
it's funny. I have both my kids are interested in sketch and improv and that kind of stuff. And they're both sort of pursuing it. And I kind of encourage them to do that because I like the network you get coming out of Second City or wherever. You have a network to some degree at stand-up, but it's very solitary and it's very competitive, I think, when you start. Not to say sketch isn't, but and also I will say I think stand-up takes a little more guts because it is just you. And if you bomb, you got no brothers or sisters up there to take the heat with you. It is just you. No. So
it's brutal. And I honestly think learning improvisation is a good life skill because it kind of hammers home the truth that you need to make friends with reality, with what is going on, instead of trying to jam your idea of how it should be onto a situation.
Interesting. You want to play a little freeze tag right now? Just me and you?
Let's do it. Let me stand up.
A quick round. Hey, so you had this great, but right before I moved to LA or shortly before, you got this gig that was the gift that kept on giving. You were the host of Dinner and a Movie, one of the two hosts, and you had a great run. And now they're bringing it back with Jason Biggs, who, if you've seen American Pie, he probably should not be allowed around food, certainly baked goods. But I've been getting a lot of mileage out of that joke. Anya, you can laugh. It's okay.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Sorry.
It's like trying to be quiet. What do you think about that? How do you feel? Did they come to you or?
No, they've not contacted me.
Okay.
Nor do they need to. I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with it. You know, it's all different people there at TBS.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting. I hope for their sake, they don't script it, because I think that's what worked for us, because it was improv. You know, we had bullet points, but
sure.
I hope the network doesn't overnote them, you know what I mean? And just let them find their own kind of vibe because that's what we did.
My guest is Paul Gilmartin, the former host of Dinner and a Movie. We're talking about the reboot. I have to say, Paul, and I'm not blowing smoke here, I am a little surprised when you said they didn't contact you. Like, you're a young enough guy. You've got the notoriety. Like, you were on that show. That was a really popular show. And it hasn't been off the air. What has it been off? Like 10 years now?
Went off in 2011. So 13 years.
Okay. But a lot of those people will still be watching it, I'm sure. And that's why I guess I'm surprised they didn't even entertain the idea. Maybe they wanted a bigger star or something like Jason Biggs and this.
Well, I honestly, I don't know. I would not want to see me.
You never watched it anyway, did you? Just for the recipes.
I had my time doing that, and I think it's time for a fresh take on it. Okay. And there's something sad about, I don't know, when somebody tries to revisit something after it's kind of hit its, you know, done its thing, especially when the person comes back and they're fatter and has gray hair. I know there's something. I don't want to depress people, Pete.
Okay, Tubbs, we're ready for you over here on the set. You look the same to me, but okay, I get it. I'm not trying to be silly here, but did you become a better cook, Paul, from hosting that show? You guys made some really cool stuff, no?
I was so desperately trying to find the comedy in the moment. Yeah. The food stuff went in one ear and out the other. I did absorb a couple of things, but my focus was just trying to be entertaining. And Claude, the chef, he had that all down. You know, he would tell us right before we rolled, okay, tell them, you know, you're heating this to 350 and, you know, you're doing that and you're doing that. And honestly, 10 minutes later, I would forget what it was that I had said. So,
makes sense.
No.
Who was your?
But I have made some of his recipes since then, and they're amazing. I would, at the end of every episode, we would sit and we would eat the dish that we had made. And every single time I would think, I'm getting paid to eat amazing food. How lucky am I?
I have to be honest. You always seemed a little bit like you made fun of it a little bit.
Yes.
And I know where that comes from because like I said before, when I started out doing stand up, you were already kind of a hot shot in Chicago. And I remember a lot of people saying things about you, like you were on this fast track and you're edgy. And then you're hosting a cooking show. That must've been strange for you because you're such a funny guy and you were funny on the show. But is that what you kind of struggled with sometimes?
Yes. Yeah, the comedic compromise and having to kind of rein things in and also, you know, being totally self-involved and worrying about what my peers think. And nobody cared.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, anybody that knew me was like, good for Paul.
Right.
You know, he's got a gig. He doesn't have to be on the road all the time. But I was like, oh, if, you know, what if so-and-so sees that bit and that joke was lame? It's just, I just took it all. I took myself way too seriously. And so then I think I felt a need to make fun of the show lest it seem like I took it too importantly and it was lame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was a lame show. I think we had moments that were really great and memorable that I'm proud of.
It's a great show, and we could talk more about it next. But I've been blessed or cursed with the idea that everything stupid I ever said to impress a woman or another comedian, I think about at night, Paul. I have a great memory for that kind of stuff, so I never let that go. Paul Gilmartin is my guest. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. We'll have more with Paul coming up next.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for matinee on air.
Hey there. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a surefire savings tip for the next time you have to buy a car. The move? Getting pre-approved for an auto loan from your bank or credit union before you head to the dealership. If your credit score is reasonable, your bank is probably going to pre-approve your loan. And bonus, this puts you in the driver's seat when you're talking about a car loan from the dealership. Car dealers love to try to get you to take a more expensive loan or a longer loan. That makes them more money, you know? But when you walk in with a pre-approved loan, they will usually work to offer you an even better rate than the bank. That's what happened to me. And my car, which I am paying off at a bragworthy 2.4% interest rate, is proof that this approach works. For more tips on saving more and spending less, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Craig Anthony Knitt will be here in the second hour, local filmmaker who will be hosting and help put together the summit, Cinema Summit at the Brown County Library this weekend. I think you can still get tickets for that. Craig will be here to discuss what you can expect. And I'm going to have some footage of me talking to Bigfoot enthusiasts because there is a convention June 1st, and there's no way I'm not going to that to talk to people about Bigfoot. Paul, do you believe in Bigfoot?
I do not.
Yeah. I don't either, but
I do believe that people who believe in Bigfoot need mental help.
Well, I'll pipe down about believing in Bigfoot then. Jeez.
Do you really believe in it?
110%. I think there is.
Yeah?
I think there. So I'm from very far up north originally. I'm from close to Park Falls in Mercer. So I spent a lot of time unobserved in the woods as a kid with my two dogs. I have not seen Bigfoot, nothing close to Bigfoot. I just have seen open spaces and wooded spaces that make me think we don't know entirely what's out here. I could totally believe that it's some weird primate species that walks upright and wants to hide from people. Me too, dude. So I believe in him, but more importantly, he believes in me, I think. So we're good.
I believe there's stuff out there, maybe.
I believe in aliens.
Me too. Yeah.
I think you're more likely to find something deep underwater. It's so much harder to figure out what's like. There could be a megalodon down there still. I don't know, but I have trouble when one person said, "Well, I think Bigfoot can appear here, like he's an alien or she, and go to this dimension." All I'll say is I don't know, but I tend not to. I need to see some evidence, I guess.
Yes.
And I have big feet, so, Paul. Yeah. You worked with several co-hosts on Dinner and a Movie. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite?
Boy, that's a hard one. The two people that I got to be friends with the most were Lisa Kuchel, who was the second host, and Janet Varney, who was the third host.
Okay.
I was closer to them than I was to Annabelle, who was the first host. We kind of butted heads a lot, Annabelle and I.
Okay. Are you open to hosting another show? Do you go on audition still for this kind of stuff?
No,
or is it something you're kind of done with?
No. Yeah. I kind of left that stuff behind. And again, there was no big demand for me. So it's not like, guys, please, everybody pipe down with the offers. I'm walking away.
You should call a press conference, and then there'll be, you'll be more in demand.
Yes, I did. It was in my living room, and my dog was very impressed by what I had. I just had no interest in doing television anymore at that point. I had started doing my podcast, and I really felt like that's where I was supposed to be, and so I put all my effort into that.
So, all right. So that's a great segue. Tell us about the Mental Illness Happy Hour. You have a pretty successful podcast and a very interesting topic.
We talk about mental health from a peer perspective. Really any mental or emotional battle, past or present, could be trauma, could be depression, anxiety, multiple personalities. You know, we talk about all kinds of stuff. Sometimes I talk to a therapist. Sometimes it's a friend, sometimes a psychiatrist or somebody who's famous. Sometimes it's a listener. I have listeners on as guests sometimes.
Do you think there's are more issues or people with mental health issues in the entertainment business than not?
Probably, because I think most of us want, most of us came to it because we were trying to fix something in ourselves, kind of like people in the therapy field. I think probably 90% of people that get in, that become therapists have issues. Right. And I think it can make them a good therapist if they can, you know, understand them and, you know,
agreed,
find a way to live healthily. I think it can help you understand people better.
It's interesting because I've thought about that, because people say, oh, people in Hollywood are crazy, or you have to be a little crazy to do stand up. I think that is a natural therapy for people, whether they pursue acting, yeah, or sit down at their computer and write or do improv or whatever it is. I think that is a natural form of making therapy fun, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think there is maybe a bit more anger in stand-up comedians than there tend to be in other art forms. I could be wrong, but you know, I think whether you draw or sing or whatever, but I think stand-up comedians, I don't know. I think there's maybe more control issues there than some of the other arts. I don't know.
I agree with you, and I think, and I don't know anything about a lot of that stuff other than just like dime store theories about mental health and my own issues that I've dealt with, like we all deal with. But when I think back of all the condominiums I shared with comics and some of the behavior I saw, oof, I'm just like, oof, this is not normal. And I, you know, yeah, I've got issues like anybody else, but I'm not walking around the condo naked waiting to be addressed like that, or like, you know, hey buddy, you can do this. I'm just not going to talk to you about your nudity. I'm not going to do it. So knock yourself out, you know, but this is weird. Like there were so many people like that, that I worked with. And I
never experienced the nude condo roommate, but it doesn't surprise me.
Twice. Yeah. It's just, and I don't want to mention names. I'll tell you off the air, but just crazy. Yeah. And I've had female comics on the air, and one guy who booked one of the Funny Bones said, I can't put you in the condo because if one of the guys, if they want to walk around and they're all together, they should be allowed to do that. Male nudity is a reason. And you know what? Yeah, give me a hotel room. I'm a guy and I'd rather have a hotel room. Yes. But the idea that the woman is the one left out here because
she's the one, yeah, that has to accommodate the nudity.
It's just
not
so
really
bizarre.
Surprising.
It's
not really surprising.
It's so bizarre.
Honestly, when I started to kind of move up the ladder doing stand up, one of the most satisfying things was being able to say, you have to put me in a hotel and it has to be this kind of hotel.
Oh, nice.
And them agreeing to that. That was like, oh my God, it was so much better.
You know, it's funny. We used to play guitar once in a while. And I remember you getting a call from a club owner and you turned down in the mid 90s, $600 a week for the week. And I was like, what's he doing? Like, we'll talk more. Can you hang for a few more minutes, Paul?
Sure, sure.
All right. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. My guest is Paul Gilmartin. The very funny Paul Gilmartin will be back in a couple minutes talking stand-up comedy and making each other laugh. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we learn about Riverside Rhythms coming to downtown Waukesha in hour number two. A new GOP coloring book should be fascinating conversation. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Their work to drive visitation and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover our great state, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. To learn more about what these great organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.